English. We use the numerals for it. We use the numbers 36 instead of the Roman numerals, XXXVI. We're going to look tonight at a fellow named Abiathar. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Abiathar was a priest. His father was Ahimelech. Ahimelech was the high priest while Saul was the king. Now all these things are going to fit together in a remarkable manner. It's always amazing how the Bible fits so well together and applies so well to our day. But Abiathar was the priest. His father Ahimelech was the high priest during the reign of Saul. So Abiathar was raised in the priesthood. He was consecrated to God at a young age. This thing went in the Old Testament, that priesthood, from Aaron down through Eli, down to Ahimelech and to Abiathar. It was a family thing. You had to be of the tribe of Levi to be a priest. And so we have this family thing coming down. And Abiathar is going to rise after the death of Ahimelech, his father. He's going to rise to be the high priest under King David. So this is the man that we're looking at tonight. And let's start with letter A, Abiathar's meeting with David. His meeting with David. And we're in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 20. And I have to turn to 1 Samuel since I'm in 2 Samuel. I'm wondering why it wasn't in the same place it was a little while ago. 1 Samuel 22 and verse 20. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. This is the first time that Abiathar meets David, the future king. David is in exile. He's running and hiding from Saul. Samuel has anointed him to be the next king, and Saul knows that, but Saul is consumed. Saul is out of his mind. That's why he goes to the witch at Endor to try to call Samuel up. He's not making sane decisions. That's why he slew the Gibeonites, which caused God to say later that Saul had a bloody house. He just lost control. And what happened here in the story we're looking at is David had come to Ahimelech, Abiathar's dad. He'd come to Ahimelech when he was the high priest in the city of Nob, N-O-B. And while David was running from Saul, he came to Ahimelech and his men were hungry. David had 600 men that were following him. And he came to Ahimelech and he said, I need food for my men and I need some weapons. And Ahimelech was unsure about David being there and said, why are you here? Why don't you have food? Why don't you have weapons? And David said, out of the corner of his mouth, he said, well, we're on the king's business, and the king's business required haste. And so because of the busyness and because we had to hurry up and leave fast, we didn't have time to get our food and our weapons, so we need something. What do you have here? And so Ahimelech assisted David and helped David because of David's words that they were on the king's errand and they were in a hurry to get there. So he gave him the showbread from the tabernacle and he gave him the sword of Goliath because it's the only weapon he had there. And David took that weapon and rode off. No sooner did David ride off and his 600 men with that sword and that food than here came Saul and his men. And Saul got there and said to Ahimelech, did you help David? And Ahimelech said, well, sure I did. Why wouldn't I? He's your servant. He's one of your chief right-hand men. He played the harp and had the evil spirit depart from you. Why wouldn't I help him? And Saul accused Ahimelech of treason for helping David, but Ahimelech did it in innocence. So we find here that when Abiathar meets with David, it's after Ahimelech and all the priests of Nob, and we'll look at this a little bit, have been slain by Saul's command. Notice number one, his family. When we think about Abiathar and his meeting with David, let's talk about, first of all, the family of Abiathar, his family. The Bible tells us in verse number 20, one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar. So we've got three generations right there. We've got Abiathar, who's the son of Ahimelech, who's the son of Ahitub. There's a funny name, Ahitub. All right? Ahitub's grandfather was Eli back in 1 Samuel. So we've got this family thing again going down. In the Old Testament, the priesthood was kept in a family tradition. Just like the monarchy is kept in a family tradition, so the priesthood was. Now the problem with that is it led to corruption. Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And you remember, both of them were corrupt and ungodly and wicked and sinful, and God killed them. That's why God discarded that system of it going from one to another and went down. And fortunately, it came to Ahimelech and Abiathar, who were good guys. They turned out to be good guys. I appreciate our political system. By that, I mean our system of voting for leaders, our system of having a voice in the leadership of our country. I've been doing a lot of reading over the past few nights about some different things in history and all that, and it makes you appreciate what we've got. You know, there's a lot of countries where they don't get to choose their leaders. Now, you know, I know you can open a big can of worms there, but at least we get to vote and have a say in it. When it came to these priests, there was no say. They just went from one generation to the other, where they were good, bad, whether they were honest, whether they were corrupt. It went down the line. And when Ahimelech was slain, Abiathar now steps into his shoes and takes his place because it passed down the family line. Notice number two, then, Abiathar's fleeing. His fleeing. The Bible says in verse 20, and one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. When Saul came to meet Ahimelech and accused him of treason, Ahimelech pled innocency. Saul told his soldiers, he said, I want you to go out there and I want you to kill Ahimelech and I want you to kill all 85 of his family that are all dressed in priest garments. And the soldiers of Saul were afraid to do it. They weren't about to kill the Lord's servants. But there was a fellow there named Doeg the Edomite who had no qualms about slaying anybody. And the Bible tells us down in verse number 18, Then the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. 85 of the priests, other than Ahimelech, were slain by one man, Doeg. I don't know, they must not have tried to escape. They must not have run. Doeg just went there with his sword and knocked out 85 plus Ahimelech all at one time. Not just that, verse 19, and Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and suckling and oxen and asses and sheep and the edge of the sword. Saul is nuts. He's out of his mind. And he's wiped out this whole city of priests because he thinks Ahimelech has helped David. And so the Bible tells us that Abiathar flees. After this genocide of the whole family of Ahimelech, Abiathar gets out of there. He escapes while this is going on. And he flees and he runs to David. He didn't blame David for what had happened. He could have, but he didn't blame David. But he knew the only place he'd be safe, the only one that would protect him, the only one that would shelter him from Saul, would be David. And so he fled to David. Notice then number three, his foes. His foes. Saul had slain, the Bible says, Saul had slain the Lord's priest, and Doeg the Edomite was there. Verse 22, David said to Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. Verse number 21. So he had Saul and he had Doeg. The two of them together was a wicked combination. There was the king and there was his hitman. See, the number one guy usually doesn't dirty his hands. He sends somebody else to do the dirty work. It's that way it can't get pinned on him. And so Saul sends Doeg to do this dirty work, but God identifies the source. God isn't fooled. God isn't tricked by it. Because God says in 2 Samuel 21 and verse 1, he talks about Saul and his bloody house. It was he that killed Ahimelech and the 85 priests. It was he that killed the women and the children and the oxen and the sucklings of the city. It might have been somebody else's sword that did it, but it was by his command, and God holds him responsible. See, in judgment, everything's going to be panned out right. Nobody's going to hide behind some wall of innocency. Nobody's going to claim they didn't know anything about it and get away with it on a technicality. God's going to have it all figured out. And so here we find his foes are Saul and Doeg the Edomite. That's some pretty serious enemies. And so he runs to David, the safest place to be, the best place to be. Notice number 4, his friend. His friend. David says in verse 23, "Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard." In David, Abiathar found protection. He found a Savior. I like the first words, "Abide thou with me." We sing the hymn, "Abide with me." The words of David are similar to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you abide in me. Again, David in the Old Testament is a picture of Christ, and we find here with Abiathar in his first meeting with David that he finds in him the Savior he's looking for. He finds in him the protection from evil, the protection from his enemies that he's looking for. And David says, "Abide with me. With me thou shalt be in safeguard." That's what Abiathar is looking for. All the talents and gifts that Abiathar possesses are now going to be accessible to David. He was raised in a priest's house. He knows the manners and the customs. He knows how to communicate with God. And Saul has cast him off, so to speak, and he's welcomed by David. And now all that he has belongs to David. It's like you and I with Christ. When he saves us, he's given us gifts. He's given us talents. He's given us training. And once we get saved, once we come to meet him, we're to give everything to him. We're to put everything at his feet. Everything we do is now to be in service to him. It's not just a change of eternal destination. It's a change of life. Now he's the center of everything. Abiathar now, he's committed and devoted to David. Abiathar's meeting with David, letter B. Abiathar's ministry for David. See, that's how it works. Once you meet him, you do everything you can for him. Because he's rescued you and saved you and protecting you and watching over you, because of that, everything you are is given to him. And Abiathar is completely dedicated now to David from this day forward because of that meeting. Notice number 1. When Abiathar is committed now to David, notice what he brought to David. What he brought to David. You know, all of us, when we get saved, bring something to Christ. Nobody is useless. Nobody is worthless. I've heard amazing testimonies of the most handicapped people doing wonderful things for God. And when Abiathar met David, he wanted to minister for him. And what he brought to the table is found in 1 Samuel chapter 23. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. "And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah that he came down with an ephod in his hand." Now we read that thing, with an ephod in his hand. We don't think much about it. But you know what that meant to David? David now has a priest. David and his 600 men that are fleeing through the wilderness without God's direction, so to speak, without any indication, now have a man that, because of Saul's connivory, because of his mass murders, this man has now fled to him, and he shows up with an ephod in his hand. Now, we read back in chapter 22 in verse 18 that the 85 priests of the Lord all did wear a linen ephod. Now, an ephod, we in our language, let me explain what that old archaic word means in our language today. An ephod is a robe. An ephod was the robe that the priest wore, that he put his breastplate over and all the different things with the Urim and Thummim and all that. It was simply the robe. But the average priest wore a linen ephod. The high priest wore an ephod. That ephod was of bright colors. That ephod was of blue and purple and woven scarlet. We read about it in the book of Exodus. And when Abiathar showed up for David, he had that ephod in his hand, the one of Ahimelech, the high priest. And you know what that meant to David when he saw it? It meant we've got God's direction. We've got God's guidance. We've got God's blessing because Abiathar showed up with that ephod in his hand. I don't know how he got it. I don't know what happened at that slaughter, those 86 men and Abiathar, and how he got out of there with the ephod. But when he shows up, he brings it to David. And David is encouraged by it. David knows what it means. Small letter A. When he brings that garment to David, he brought maturity, got to read my own writing. He brought maturity in the faith. He brought maturity in the faith. Here's one that had been raised around that ephod. His dad had been wearing it. Here's one that saw the blessings of God and saw the prayers of the high priest and saw the direction given to him to guide and to lead the king at the time. And everything he knew about God was all now at King David's disposal. He was there to serve him. He was there to walk with him. The possession of that special garment put Abiathar in a special position. Now he could discern God's will for David, and the two of them were going to be unbeatable because of his maturity in the faith. You know, that's what God wants us to do after we meet him. He wants us to mature in the faith. He wants us to grow up. That's why we go to church. That's why we have our daily devotions. That's why we try to maintain a prayer life. That's why we try to be faithful in witnessing and tithing and all those things. Why? Because he wants us to be mature in the faith. If we can walk together with God in mature faith, nothing's going to stop us. Now, I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm simply talking about living a life that brings honor and glory to God when we have maturity in the faith. The sad thing is too many Christians never mature. So he brought maturity in the faith. And two times that maturity showed itself was, number one, in the time of danger. In the time of danger. In the time of David's danger, Abiathar could be a help to David because of his maturity. Again, he's got the ephod. And over in 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning in verse 6, and we don't have time to read all the verses, but verse 6 down through verse 9, David is hiding from Saul in a place called Keilah. And Saul finds out that David's in Keilah, and he's coming to Keilah to get David. And David says to Abiathar with that ephod, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into the hands of Saul?" David wanted to know. He was in danger. Were they going to deliver him up when Saul showed up? Were they going to show their allegiance to Saul and say, here's David, we'll give him to you? And so he went to Abiathar, who got out the ephod, and asked God about it, and God said, they're going to deliver David up. And David fled from the city. He was helped by Abiathar and his maturity. Also, number two, in time of distress. In time of distress. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want you to see the word there. That's 1 Samuel chapter 30, again the story. David had gone out. He'd been staying in Ziklag. He'd been staying in the land of the Philistines. The Philistines were getting ready to go fight against Saul, and David wanted to join the Philistines against Saul. But the Philistines didn't want David to fight with them because they were worried in the middle of battle he would turn against them to try to win favor with Saul. So they sent him back to Ziklag saying, no, you won't fight with us. But when he goes back to Ziklag, he finds out that the Amalekites had attacked it while he was gone. And it says in verse number 2 that they'd taken Ziklag, the end of verse 1, and burned it with fire and taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Notice verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. In a time of danger, in a time of distress, Abiathar was the guy to help out. Notice it says down in verse number 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. God's word, God's will was revealed to David through Abiathar and the ephod that he took from that slaughter scene back home. What a blessing Abiathar is in his ministry to David. In times of danger, in times of distress, Abiathar's ministry was a blessing. Isn't that what you and I'd like to do? To be like Abiathar, that when people are in danger, when people are in distress, we can be a blessing to them. The only way that happens is if we're mature in the faith. We've got to be mature enough. That's why God allows us to go through some of the things we go through, so that we can be mature in the faith and help others when they go through it. Aren't you thankful that no one person has to go through everything themselves? Could you imagine if one person had to face everything that's out there, but God allows it to be dispersed a little bit here and a little bit there? Now, may I tell you that for you to understand one thing, when you're going through something, so is everybody else. Because we always get the feeling when we're going through something, nobody's been through this before. No, God's sharing the wealth. God's sharing the distress. He's putting it around because he knows no one person can handle it all. And when we get there, if we mature in our faith, we can be a blessing and a help and a ministry to somebody else. That's what happens. That's what he brought. He brought maturity in the faith. Small letter B. Not only did he bring maturity in the faith, but he brought members of his family. He brought members of his family. 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 17. When Abiathar came to know David, it affected his family. 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 17. This is talking about David's core group, his inside men, verse 16, and Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder, verse 17. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar. Now, to help you, because that can be confusing, so wait a minute. I thought Ahimelech was the father of Abiathar. Well, he was. So Abiathar named his son after his father. And so here we find Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar. So Abiathar named his son after his dad, Ahimelech, and Ahimelech became one of David's core group, inside people. Abiathar's ministry to David spread through his family. Not only that, but look over at chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 27. Chapter 15 and verse 27. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, and we'll talk about him a little bit in a moment, art not thou a seer, which is a prophet? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. So Abiathar had at least two boys. The first was Ahimelech, named after his dad, and the second was Jonathan, that his faith spread to. You know, the Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Well, that doesn't mean if I get saved, my kids are guaranteed to get saved. But it means if I get saved, chances are it's going to spread down through the family. Because when God saves one, he's got an inside door into the rest of the family. And so when Abiathar came to give himself to God and gave his abilities and his talents to God, at least two of his sons were brought into service of David. He brought members of his family. That's what he brought to David. Number two, what he thought of David. What he thought of David. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 24. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God, and they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. There are two names mentioned in verse 24, one that we've seen already, Zadok, and the other Abiathar. Now Abiathar came to David when he was fleeing from Saul. Zadok was the priest of Saul. Then when Saul died, Zadok was the priest of Absalom. So Abiathar's with David the whole time while Zadok's with Saul, and then he's with his son Absalom. Then when Absalom dies, Zadok gives his devotion to David. Now I wonder what Abiathar thought about that. Here he'd been faithful all along, and one of the enemies now comes to their side. What did he think about that? Well, how should we think about that? How should we think when somebody who's been an enemy for so long comes to the same side we're on? There ought to be no animosity. There ought to be no envy. There ought to be no jealousy. And we find in Abiathar that he was willing. For all that time, there had been one high priest. Now David has two. He's got Zadok and Abiathar, and Abiathar's fine with that. He doesn't have a problem with being second string. Because really, when you begin reading from this point forward, Abiathar's kind of taken the lower level, and Zadok becomes the main guy of the two. But Abiathar, as far as we read in here at this point, has no problem with that issue. He's just willing to serve David. He doesn't care if he's in the limelight. He doesn't care if he gets the glory and gets the credit. He doesn't care who gets the pat on the back. He just wants to be faithful in his ministry for David. What a wonderful example. Not caring who gets the praise, not caring who gets the glory, not caring who gets the pat on the back, who gets the attention, who gets noticed, who gets their name in lights, but just being willing to serve David, or in our sense, being willing to serve Christ. You know, God gets a lot more service from unnamed people than he does from well-known people. Now, we're thankful for Billy Graham. We're thankful for the multitude of people that got saved during his ministry. But can I tell you this? There was more people won to Christ by the multitude of nobodies than there was by one somebody. And that's not to diminish him. Don't misunderstand me. But when you take all the millions of Christians that have won other people to Christ, there's more been won by all them than there could ever be won by one man alone. So we don't care who gets the attention, who gets the glory. If somebody does, praise God for it. Abiathar was like that. He didn't care if Zadok got to carry the ark. He was still going to be faithful in serving David. That's what he thought of David. Then number three, what he wrought for David. What he wrought for David. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 11. Absalom is now defeated. David is getting ready to return to Jerusalem. The people of Israel are anxious for the second coming of their king. He fled when Absalom was coming and taking over, but now David's coming back, and the children of Israel are excited. They're ecstatic. The king is coming. But the men of Judah weren't sold. The men of Judah weren't convinced. They weren't sure they wanted David to be king, and there was trouble in the kingdom. And so David, in 2 Samuel chapter 19, and verse number 11, the king sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, "Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house?" Abiathar, along with David, is given a mission. And that mission is, go talk to the elders of Judah and say, "Don't you know your king is coming? Don't you know your king is coming back? Why won't you receive him?" To him was given, can we call it this, the ministry of reconciliation. Getting Judah and David back together. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's our ministry, a ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling lost people to the Savior. Letting them know the King is coming back a second time, and they better be ready to receive Him when He comes. Abiathar's ministry, what he wrought for David, speaking on David's behalf. And the Bible says his words, he and Zadok, their words were effective because in 2 Samuel 19 and verse 14, and he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants. Abiathar's words and Zadok's words, put in their mouth by David, but their words brought repentance to Judah, and they accepted David as their king. Abiathar's got it going good. His meeting with David, his ministry for David, now that stinking letter C. Abiathar's mistake about David. I had a long talk with myself about this the other day, and I just didn't listen to me. I aired this to my wife also, but I was saying, you know, every Wednesday night we study a Bible character, and we see good things. We see great things, whether it was Saul, whether it was Jonathan, whether it was Michael, David's wife, whether it was Ahimelech, whoever we looked at, we saw great things, but every time it ended bad. I can't wait to teach on one of these Bible characters where it goes good and stays good all the way to the end. And you know what I realized? There's only one Bible character in all the Scripture that happens to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other character in the Bible has a flaw. Every other one of them, there's something bad that happens. We're going to be looking at David next week, and I don't even have to tell you what the bad things that happen with one of the greatest men in all the Bible. And so we get to Abiathar, and we've seen his meeting with David and his ministry for David, and he's riding high on the hog, and everything's going good, but then he makes a mistake. Every individual has a flaw. And here we find what Abiathar's mistake was. Number one, Abiathar followed Adonijah. He followed Adonijah. He didn't stick with Saul. He was a murderer. He didn't join up with Absalom. When Absalom rebelled against David, he could have, but he didn't. But now when David is old and sickly and weak and up in years and about to die, Abiathar joins up with one of David's sons named Adonijah and blows the trumpet along with Joab and is one of those involved in the little coup trying to make Adonijah king. Notice 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. I'll tell you, folks, the stories of the Bible are better than any movie you'll ever see. And it's better than any other book of fiction or nonfiction you'll ever read. There's wonderful stories, and the wonderful thing about the stories in the Bible is that they all have application to the day we live in. They all mean something today. I do a lot of reading. I read a lot of stuff, and most of it doesn't have anything to do. A lot of it doesn't have anything to do with right now. It's a history about this and history about that, maybe a little effect. But when you read the Bible, it's unlike any other book because everything you read has practical application for right now. We read about Abiathar, his meeting David, his ministry for David, giving everything to him and being devoted to him and consecrated to him. And then later in life, like another fellow we met named Ahithophel, something happens, something triggers something, and he goes cold on God. He goes cold on David. He followed Adonijah, 1 Kings chapter 1. Verse number 7. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. 1 Kings chapter 1, David is old, he's dying, he's on his deathbed. They don't know who's going to be the next king, so they decide for David who's going to be the next king, and they decide it's going to be Adonijah. They don't invite Nathan the prophet. They don't invite Zadok, the other priest. But Joab and Abiathar get their own little thing going, their own little group here. And they go and they pronounce Adonijah king. That was Abiathar's mistake because he followed Adonijah. But number two, David favored Solomon. Abiathar lined up with the wrong side. He got into the kingdom. He's in the kingdom. But he lined up with the wrong guy on the throne because David says in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse number 30, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son, he's talking to Bathsheba, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne and in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. And while David's on his deathbed, he brings in Solomon and says, you're going to be king. And then Nathan and Zadok and the others go out and blow the trumpet. And Abiathar hears about it. And Joab hears about it. And Adonijah hears about it. And they're all scared to death because they've lined themselves up on the wrong side. Notice what happens to Abiathar because of that. Chapter 2, verse 26. Solomon, after the death of David, now is cleaning house. Solomon says to Abiathar in verse 26, Abiathar the priest, and unto Abiathar the priest said the king, speaking of Solomon, get thee to Anathoth unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. He lost his place. He's no longer going to stay at the palace. He's no longer going to wear the ephod. He's no longer going to give direction to Solomon because he went by his flesh. He went out on his own and he got away from the will and direction of God and sided with the wrong guy. He lost his place. But I will not at this time put thee to death because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord. This isn't on our outline, but he lost his place and he lost his priesthood. He was thrust out from being priest that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli and Shiloh. Abiathar at the end lost everything because he made a mistake. He went with the wrong side. He got out of the will of God. He didn't seek God. He's got an ephod. He could have looked for the will of God. He didn't use it any longer. And he made decisions without prayer. He made decisions without seeking God. And he messed up at the end everything he had. His life was not taken. His life was spared. But he no longer was the high priest of the king of Israel when Solomon took the throne. How wonderful it is, the Bible says about the Apostle Paul, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness is the crown to those that finish the course, that keep the faith, that cross the finish line. Let's you and I not be like Abiathar and like so many we've seen that peter out at the end, that lose their drive and their direction near the end of their ministry. But let's make sure we are dedicated to what we're doing till the day that we die or the day we hear the trumpet and the Lord comes to get us home. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and eyes closed.